Good morning. Welcome to the service this morning. My name's Bob, and I get the privilege of breaking forth the word to you this morning. And I want to start with just a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we look into the holy inspired word that's living and active and sharp, would our hearts be receptive to it? And would you speak through your humble servant this day? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're in the book of James, and we're talking about maturity. And let me give you a brief update, if you weren't here last week, of what we talked about. We talked about marks of maturity last week. And we were in James 1, and today we're going to be doing verses 19 through verse 27. Last week, we were reminded from James that we don't measure from our circumstances, and he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. And isn't that the verse that just bugs you? It bugs me. You know, aren't we supposed to have this life where our trials go away? Aren't we supposed to have this this wonderful life where we don't experience difficulty and everything's happy every day? And he says, no, that's not the case. In fact, you need to gain a right perspective that the trials God allows to come into your life are for your good and for your maturity and for your growth. And he said, don't measure from your circumstances, gain a right perspective, and allow perseverance and perspective to develop. See what God is up to. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. And we talked about seeing what God is up to and allowing Him to develop things in your life and surrendering to what He's doing and not thrashing about and trying to fix it on your own. And that the mark of maturity in your walk with God isn't to see your circumstances change, but to see what God is doing in and through you in your circumstances. And then it talks about asking for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And ask for the wisdom to understand. And we talked about wisdom is the knowledge about God that becomes active action in our faith and in our lives. So today I want to talk some more out of James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. It's called Marks of Maturity. Let's read it together. If you have your Bible, get it open. If not, it's up here. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I like the book of James, written to people scattered all over the place, written to a people going through temptation, and there's infighting in the church, and you know, there's all kinds of problems. And James starts right off by saying, get a right perspective, understand that trouble's going to come. It's not whenever you face it, or not if you face it, it's whenever you face it. Understand that God's going to allow some things into your life. And then he tackles this whole business about listening and doing. Now, how many of you have children at home? Hands high. How many of you speak to your children and know that they've heard the sound waves coming, right? And how many of you see them do what you ask them to do? Yeah, not me either. Listening and doing, isn't that an interesting topic? He starts off by saying, my dear brothers, take note of this. And he says, the evident marks of maturity that I'm going to talk about is that you have control of your actions. Let me explain it. He says, you've got to be quick to this and slow to this. It speaks of a control or a self-control or an inner ability to discipline yourself not to react in a negative way. Now, the other day I was, it's going to be online and everything, isn't it? I was driving, and this guy on an icy road comes right up behind me, right? And it's like there's been a ton of accidents, and he's ran on my tail, and just driving me kind of crazy. So in my maturity, I tap the brakes. What an idiot, eh? And saw his truck go like this, and thought, good, you know. Just kind of worked up inside. Grieved in the spirit, I think, is the term we're looking for here. And I thought, what a dummy. You know, what an immature reaction. What if I'd have caused an accident? You know, what did I have to gain? Somebody was in a hurry, they were following a little too close. Why did I need to respond like that? That is completely immature. James says, here's the marks of maturity. My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. One of the commentators said, you ever notice you have two ears and one mouth? Should do twice as much listening as speaking. Quick to listen. Slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. One of the marks of maturity is gaining control of your reactions. Slow to speak, slow to anger. Evident in your actions and reactions, the walk of God in your life. You work with people like this, right? You know that the minute anything goes wrong, and none of you are like this, I know this, so I'll just say you work with them. And the minute anything goes wrong or anything happens, they're just quick to anger, and they're quick to speak, and they're quick to be very caustic with their words, right? Man, would you ever stand out if you did more listening than talking, and you weren't known for becoming angry quickly? Then it says, part of controlling your actions is getting rid of moral filth. It says this, for man's anger does nothing to bring about the righteous life God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. If I tell my kids to collect all the garbages in the house, they have to intentionally go room to room and get the garbage can and empty it, right? And then that all goes out to the garage, and then that all goes out to the curb, and then the garbage truck comes and takes it away. When you get rid of something in your life, it's intentional and deliberate. James says a mark of maturity is to take the moral filth and get it out. It's to determine that you're going to be slow to speak, that you're not going to make quick judgments, that you're going to get control of your anger. But it's also the determination that I'm going to do something to prepare the soil of my heart for the Word of God. Do you understand? I'll say that again. I'm going to do something to weed the soil of my heart so that the Word of God that's planted there has a place to grow. And then it says, humbly accept the word planted. It says, get rid of the moral filth and evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. which can save you. That word humble has two implications. It has posture and attitude. Have you ever run onto somebody that has a little arrogance or pride problem? You know, you can just think for a minute, and it's noticeable, right? And when you try and tell them something, they always know better, or they know more than you, or they're not very easily swayed to listen to you. And it says, humbly accept the word planted in you. Position yourself to receive from God. Notice that James is saying a mark of maturity is the control of your actions, the preparation of your heart, and the receptivity that you have to the word of God. Let me tell you, if you want to grow in your walk with God, if you want to experience Him in new ways, here's three very simple things you can do. Determine to listen more than you speak. Determine to be disciplined in your control, in your reactions to what happens in your life. Determine to start to remove things from your life, from your television habits, that aren't so that the Word of God can take root and grow. Well, the second thing James talks about is not only control of actions being a mark of maturity, but knowledge becoming action is a mark of maturity. And I just put in brackets there, so what, right? I ask this question every time I preach, and I have since the first day I ever started preaching. So what? If this information doesn't have some kind of outworking in our life, it's useless, right? And so here's what James says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. So then he uses a perfect illustration. He says, anyone who listens to the word and doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. He says, there are those of you that take a quick glance in the mirror. You're the ones that, God gets 2 minutes of my day whether I'm busy or not. You know, I'm going to read this daily bread, or I'm going to read this chapter, and I'm just going to take a quick glance at it, and hopefully some knowledge about God permeates my brain, and off I go to do the things I need to do today. My wife likes this show called What Not to Wear. Any of you? Come on. Okay, yeah, I know some of you watch it. I knew it. And one of the things they do on this show is people get nominated because they have really bad style or fashion or whatever. And so they have to bring their whole wardrobe, their whole closet of clothes, and they get some money to buy new stuff. But they put them in the 360-degree mirror. You ever see this? So they put them in a room that's just mirror all the way around, and they're forced to look at how they look. And what's funny is beforehand you see them saying, yeah, I look great, I'm styling. And then they put them in the mirror and they go, get me out of here. It's a humiliating experience because it reveals what everyone else sees. You know, a quick glance in the mirror suggests time and importance, right? It's kind of like that person that rolls out of bed, blows past the mirror and goes, yeah, I'm styling, and out they go. And they're not spending any time and importance on what it reflects. You see, then it says, forgetting what is viewed. A quick look in the mirror and off you go. And out you go into the world, and out you go to work, and out you go to do different things. And you don't recall what's shown. Now, James is saying something very interesting. He's saying, if you prepare your heart and you receive the word of God, it's like you see who God is and you see who yourself is, right? And it reflects the difference, the gap. And every time you see in Scripture that somebody saw the glory of God or God revealed Himself, their immediate response was, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't stand in the presence of a holy God. And James is saying, hey, you know what? Jesus went to the cross and he's now, God sees us through what he did on the cross. And we're going to celebrate that this morning. But don't be that person that takes a quick glance in the mirror. Open this word. Don't forget what it says. Don't read a chapter and run out. Dwell on it. Ponder it. Let it reflect who God is and who you are. And begin to make the changes that need to be made. See, it says the man who gazes intently. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do it is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Maturity means that you come to the Word of God like going into the 360-degree mirror. And boy, that's painful. And you gaze intently and you say, reveal to me the error of my ways, the sin of my heart, the things you are trying to correct in me. Reveal to me what you are doing. And remember last week we talked about asking for wisdom? And gaze intently into the Word and make the changes that need to be made. You see, gazing intently is not avoiding the problem areas, and it's responding to what is revealed. Well, the third thing James talks about in his marks of maturity in our passage is that your action is noticed or evident. It says, if anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after, keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You see, what we say matters, and maturity reflects that. It says, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Now, not that many years ago, I had the opportunity to speak at a camp, and they were raising money for their horse program. And so the deal was that we went on these trail rides. And I had ridden a horse a little bit. I would far rather ride a motorcycle, but agreed to go. And we did a bunch of horseback riding. One of the guys there brought a horse that was fairly newly broken and fairly spirited. And the whole time he was on that thing, he was just on top of it. He kept a tight rein. And the minute his attention wandered, that horse would push him and try and kick another horse or get off the path or do something it wasn't supposed to do. And I remember him commenting, like, this particular animal will be a fantastic horse when I'm done with it. But boy, right now, I really need to stay on top of it, keep a tight rein. A moment of inattention, and it'll push me. James uses these words, keep a tight rein on your tongue. See, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, what you say matters, and how you say it matters. Keep a tight rein on your tongue. Vigilant, constant attention. You know, we'll talk some more about the tongue further on in James, but it's a powerful weapon, isn't it? It can leave destruction behind it that nothing can fix. I'd far rather somebody fight me physically than verbally rip me apart. Because I can recover from bruises. Often my spirit can't recover from what people have said. Keep a tight rein on your tongue. And then it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Here's how I interpret that. What matters to God matters to me. If you read the Bible, you cannot get around this fact that the rejected, the abandoned, the sick, the hurt, the orphan, the widow, the poor, They matter to God. He said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. And all through the Scriptures, when you see the life of Jesus, when you see the commands He gives His people, when you see how it's supposed to be set up, when you see the blessed are, they matter to God. And a mark of maturity is those people that society forgets or blows past or often doesn't stop for matter to you as much as they matter to God. Hey, on May the 13th, we have an amazing opportunity here. The Watutu Ugandan Children's Choir is coming. They're going to be in our town. We're going to get to host them, and we're putting on a concert. They're all orphans because of AIDS and Civil War. So I went on the website and I was checking it out. 880,000 kids in the country of Uganda alone are orphaned. Here's an organization that's building homes and schools and hospitals and churches, and 15,000 kids who have no parents are being cared for. And we're going to do a little experiment. We're going to ask you to sign up and get into groups, and we're going to ask you to do a study on God's heart for the poor and the hurting. And then we're going to ask every group to plan an event, and we'll give you some seed money, and we're going to try and raise some money. And when they're here, give it to them and say, we care about the things that matter to God's heart. The mark of maturity is the things that breaks God's heart break our hearts. It's not all about me. What matters to God matters to me. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress. And it goes on to say, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The other action for mature Christians, it's evidenced and noticed, is that they take care to protect what influences their life. To keep oneself from being polluted. Ladies and gentlemen, we know what the world thinks and believes, and we know what doesn't honor God. Are we taking steps to keep ourselves from believing the lies that culture gives us? From being polluted by the world? Are we spending enough time in the truth that we recognize the missed message? Right? That happiness is more important than health. The church is about me instead of about me coming and being a part of something, offering back to God, being involved, learning, growing. That things make you happy. That, you know, I can just go on and on and on. Meet your needs your way. Do whatever seems right to you. To keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And mark of maturity is that people put fences up in their life to protect what influences them. So James talks about some marks of maturity. Listening and doing, we have to ask the huge question. So what? What do we need to come away with? Well, the first question is, how are your reactions? Are you easily angered? Are you active in pulling the weeds out of your life and accepting God's way over your desires? Do you speak more than you listen? You see, if that's the case, the so what here is, I have to take a look at determining to listen, controlling my reactions, and evidencing Christ in the way things go. Secondly, is what you know about God taking root in your life. You know, do you know more than you're living? Are you one of those guys that glances in the mirror? Do you just kind of read the Bible or spend a few moments praying because you think somehow that'll keep you going or God's honored by it? Or do you go into the 360-degree mirror and gaze? Do you simply disregard what God shows you? Do you come and He touches your heart this morning and you go, oh, sorry, and you go and continue to live the way you've lived? Or do you take the information from the Word of God, the knowledge, and ask for the wisdom for it to become action and take root in your life? Is what you know taking root? Because it says, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And do others see what you really believe in your speech? Do you keep a tight rein on your tongue? Are you caustic, quick to speak, critical, crude? In your care for others, do the people that matter so desperately to the heart of God matter to you? And how are you doing at keeping your life pure or apart from influences that destroy? James says marks of maturity: how you handle your reaction, the effect that truth has on your life, and the evidence that the world sees about what you believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And as we desire to become mature, as we know that your desire for us is growth and fruit and understanding, would these words jump out of the book and into our hearts by the power of your Spirit? And so we repent of those places where we've had knowledge and there hasn't been action, and we've deceived ourselves and said, it's enough that I know about you, not that I practice what you command. Forgive us. And Lord, renew in us the desire not just to glance at your word or not just to have surface knowledge, but to gaze intently and to listen and to hear and allow that work to happen. And Father, grow in us your word in our hearts. Would the things that matter to you matter to us? Would it be evident to others in what we say and what we do and how we respond that we're followers of you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.